Welcome to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Buster Swoops and Michael Campbell. This week in preparation for Sabbath, March 23rd, we look at Lesson 12, Worship That Never Ends. Join us as we celebrate adoration of God found in the Book of Psalms.
The Sabbath School Rescue Podcast is hosted by Michael Campbell and Buster Swoops at the Adventist Learning Community. Together, we love learning and have 18 years of pastoral experience, and now we have the privilege to dig deeper into the study.
Well, Michael, here we are at week 12, lesson 12, Worship That Never Ends. And our memory text is Psalms 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being.
Absolutely. It's a joyful lesson, right? And these lessons have gone by so quickly.
Yeah, and hopefully we have a worshipful podcast this day, and hopefully it continues with our congregation, with the audience, and we all worship it, and may that worship never end. Yeah, so Michael, lead us there with Lift Up Your Hands in the Sanctuary, Sunday's lesson.
All right, Buster, you're going to go charismatic here.
Yes, there we go. Good thing they can't see us.
That's right. Psalm 134, one of the shortest of the Psalms. And it's titled A Song of Ascent. So this is something meant to be sung or read in a context of worship, as the Jews would have been going up to Jerusalem for worship and to the temple. It says, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth.
Amen.
You just have this beautiful portrayal of, you know, lifting up your hands. When you are fully all into something, you're not just talking to somebody, but it's your whole body expression. In this case, if you're really excited about something, I mean, just really excited about something, yeah, you're going to be all in, jumping up and down, we say, right?
And that is the truth.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're just doing some family activities for us. It's spring break. And so when I told my kids some of the things we're going to do, they're just ecstatic. You know, they literally were jumping up and down. I love that because it's all in your whole body. And that's kind of what scripture here is talking. Amen. And there's a bunch of other different passages we could look at. And of course, the lesson highlights from Psalm 18, 36, 113, 134, 135. And what we see is that worship isn't just a one-time kind of thing. It's ongoing. That's kind of the point of this lesson. Is that we don't just worship God when we go to church. I mean, that's one manifestation of it, but it's ongoing throughout our lives and night, day, or in the context of temple worship or in our homes, wherever we are able and have the privilege to be able to say, hey, God, thank you for who you are, and acknowledging God as God.
Amen.
And our finite place and submission and just acknowledging the goodness of God in all that he has done for us. And we recognize not only that, but also our sinfulness, our need of a savior. And so we accept the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. And that's when we realize that, and the good news of how amazing that is, it really just changes and transforms every part of our lives. So yeah, we lift up our hands. I'm one of those all in kind of people. So people have to kind of pull my hands back, you know, so I don't
here we go.
but really that's just what God wants. Is he wants us to be enthusiastic. And it's kind of like, you know, you have a present for your kids and you give it to them. They're like, you know?
Yeah. I've done that before, but you know, they get mad when I give them broccoli. You know, I think it's a great gift.
For their good. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I brought home donuts this morning and they're really excited. I don't know.
I understand that one, Buster. Well, let's talk about a new song and what's going on here.
Yeah. So a new song, and there's several texts here as well. Psalm 33, verse 3. It goes through, and all these texts talk about this concept of a new song. Now, I'm not going to read all of them, but 33:3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. 96 verse 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. I'm going to jump over here to 144 verse 9. I will sing a new song to you, O God, On the harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. And there's one line here in the lesson that our principal contributor shared. The new experience of divine deliverance inspires the people to acknowledge their Lord as, to acknowledge God as their Lord and Creator and King. And so these are not necessarily just new songs. These are fresh experiences with God. And as a result, these songs are an expression of their gratefulness, but also their expression of recognizing God for who He is, and that is God of the universe, God of creation, God of our lives, God of our hearts. And so at the end of the lesson, kind of jumping around here, but it asks us to dwell on God's blessings in our lives. And if you were to sing a new song, what would it be? And this concept to me, I think it's foreign, it's forgotten, because oftentimes we hear a new song and we get in battle of hymns versus songs that are played on the contemporary radio. And it goes far beyond that. Every one of us should have fresh experiences with God. And as a result of that, there should be, even if it's not necessarily a song, there should be a prayer of worship. There should be a moment of reflection. There should be a moment of praise where we're saying, God, thank you for showing up. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for providing. Thank you, God, for being you. Even sometimes, Michael, in the midst of trouble, sometimes we sing those praises because it reminds us that all this while He's been sustaining us, and something bad goes wrong and we recognize, God, we still praise you because we know that you're going to bring us through this because you brought us through it before. I want to end with Isaiah 42, verses 10 through 12, and it says, sing to the Lord a new song and His praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them. I'm going to stop there because we see here that praise and worship is actually contagious. So it's saying that as we're singing, as we're worshiping, others begin to worship because they recognize, and this is why testimonies are so important. Honestly, songs are indeed a testimony of someone else's experience. Sometimes those are shared experiences, and so therefore we sing them. We sing them together. When we sing All the Way My Savior Leads Me by Fanny Crosby, we're singing a song that someone about 150 years ago wrote and sang, but we share that commonality because we have seen in our own lives that God has led us. And so songs are actually our testimonies, and this is why it's so important for us to share what God has done, because as we're sharing, those moments of sharing become contagious and helps to open up our eyes and ears to recognize what God is doing. Because if God is moving in your life, that means He's moving in mine as well, but I need to acknowledge it, have awareness of it, and then praise God for it. So Michael, take us now to Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle?
Well, I'm telling you, it's tough here.
Yes.
Who's going to make the cut, right? Who's going to, in verse 1 of Psalm 15, it says,
who may Lord help us,
sacred tent, your tent, and live on your holy mountain. So basically, who can be in the presence of God? Right. And what do you need? Some kind of super strength, super power to be able to do that? And this is really what is cool about this here on Psalm 15 is that what God values the most isn't, you know, what you accomplish, but it's not quantitative, it's qualitative. And it talks about those who are authentic in sincerity and truth. It talks about in different places in the Bible. But here it says those who are blameless and righteous, that's doing the right thing. But it says who speaks from the truth from their heart. So it's not just the outward, but God's looking at the inward. So in other words, we can do the outward things, but if the heart's not there with it, it doesn't do any good.
Yeah. What good is it?
And exactly. And so if you look at all of the different examples here, you know, not doing wrong to one's neighbor, not slurring others, you know, are we concerned about other people's reputation? You know, are we concerned about how other people appear? And this is interesting here, say interest, because it actually is talking about interest. Who lends money to the poor without interest? In other words, are you willing to help others without any benefit to yourself?
Ooh, ooh,
That's the mark of authenticity right there, right?
Altruism. I mean, yeah.
You know, we do things so that we can get ahead. You know, we can impress somebody that then they'll help us out in the future. And I'm not saying that, it's just human nature that we always wanted to do things to, but God's saying it's actually very different from that. Helping others with no expectation of anything in return. And then here, this is the other kicker: who does not accept bribes against the innocent. In other words, you know, we live in a world where to get ahead, you know, we look at these big corporations and billionaires, and I'm not trying to just say because someone has a lot of money that then they're a corrupt person, but
no.
Sometimes these large systems, they take advantage of those who are poor, advantage of other parts of the world where people, and usually that's how people get ahead, right?
Exploitation.
Yeah, we live in a world of it, Buster, of exploitation. So this is someone who is not only helping others without any financial benefit for themselves, but is watching out intentionally to make sure that others are not harmed, recognizing systemic exploitation, all of those things. And it says, whoever does these things will never be shaken. So in other words, you know, I like to say that what we do on the, what other people observe is not as important as what God observes in our heart. And that's really kind of getting at the heart of it. If we want to follow God and who are worthy of worship, it's not just who looks the part. It's gotta be those who are acting the part when other people aren't necessarily noticing. And the second part of this lesson here talks about, or asks the question, what does it mean to be holy, right? So, because it talks about those who God is holy, and it talks about those in Psalm 24 who have a perfect heart are the ones that may ascend into his temple, into the mountain of the Lord, right? Who has clean hands and a pure heart. And the lesson points out in the original Hebrew, this idea of perfection. I think sometimes we have difficulty understanding Christian perfection. What does it mean to have a perfect heart? What does it mean to be perfect, Buster? And if we look at this, the Hebrew it's not saying you have to accomplish a certain checklist. You know, if I do these things, or put it another way, if I don't do these things, right? I mean, this is often how we kind of look around and say, oh, well, I'm good because I don't do this on the Sabbath, or I give this much money to my church or in tithe or whatever, and therefore I'm a good person.
Right.
Saying is a perfect heart, and the Hebrew is tanim, which is completeness and wholeness. In other words, so God doesn't want just, you know, the outward part. He wants all of us. And so perfection isn't a checklist. It's not quantitative, it's qualitative. He wants all of us. He wants our hearts surrendered to him. And that's what the Bible's talking about, a pure heart. That's what the psalmist is saying when he invites us to seek after God and to have a pure heart.
Amen. Michael, as I was looking at that and as you're sharing that, even the thing that God is after is that, once again, I know we keep talking about it, that relational aspect of God and what he is doing to draw us in. And that's what is at the heart of worship, which is this moment of, I don't want us to get confused with this word, of intimacy, where we are, God and man reconcile and recognize this is what the heart of existence or being is, and purposefulness is actually being in the presence of others and basking in that, but ultimately our creator.
I love it. Love it. So once we have that perfection, Buster, I mean, then God wants us to declare his glory among the nations, which kind of segues into the next part of the lesson.
Yes, it does. So Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. I'm not going to read this entire thing, but listen to this. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Yes, a new song concept is back in there, but listen to this. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. And it goes on talking about he is God to be feared above all gods, above all idols. He is worshiped because of his creation of the heavens and the earth, everything else. And so the reason why I believe this is brought up here in this lesson is a direct result of sharing that the nation of Israel, their original purpose was to be a beacon of light, a city on a hill where the nations see who they're worshiping and say, we want to worship that God. But we see oftentimes the opposite happen. They said, we want gods like the other nations, or we want to have a king like the other nations, where their king was supposed to be the Lion of Judah, which was supposed to be God himself. And so here we see that the psalmist is writing it correctly. This is the penultimate example of what they are called to be, which are, once again, beacons of light, sharing to the world how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to worship. I can say the same thing for the church today, Michael. By this, the world will know you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. And I preached about that this past Sabbath. And is that why the world is not coming in? Honestly, because the war and bickering and fighting amongst all of us, as Paul writes in several of his letters, we still carry on today. And if we actually worship the way we're supposed to worship, and that is caring and loving others the way that God has called us to be, well, then the world will actually be able to see and look and recognize and follow after us in our examples of worshiping God. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect in how we worship or anything like that, but it shows that we worship a perfect creator, that we worship a perfect God. And with all of our frailties, with everything else that's wrong with us, we also see what's right with God. And it has something here. It says, yet singing, praising, and bringing gifts and proclaiming the gospel are not separate actions, but are varied expressions of worship. So all those different things that we do are examples of how we can worship. And then as people are watching us, they can see, man, come and join us. Come and taste for yourself and see that the Lord is good in this worship that we have. And so, Michael, take us to Thursday's lesson. When God does not delight in sacrifices.
Yeah. So this is kind of interesting, because I think a lot of people wrestle with this, like, you know, the Old Testament God, the sanctuary, and there were all these sacrifices, and why would God do that? Right. And at some point, you know, God was trying to teach ancient Israel a lesson. And sometimes we can get so fixated on the form that we lose the purpose, what was behind all of this. And I think this is the danger that ancient Israel faced. They were kind of getting into the mode of the outward, you know, the Sabbath, and Jesus had to come back and remind them the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, right? That these have, what is the purpose behind the sacrificial system itself? And so there's a couple of texts here. Psalm 40 talks about this, and it says, I'm not going to read all of these passages, but just kind of doing the highlights. Psalm 40 verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. In other words, it's more important to God that we actually listen and pay attention to him than the actual sacrifice itself. We're getting, I guess the other way sometimes people will talk about it is form over function, right?
Okay.
Hung up in the details. And same thing here with Psalm 50, talking about the same thing, verse 13, do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? In other words, is God just a vengeful God that delights in sacrifices in themselves? Is God just a bloody God?
And ouch.
And I think that is what some people think. God's just out for vengeance. He's out to get me, you know? And right here it's saying, no, this is not. And actually here at the end of it, it talks about, you know, those who sacrifice thank offerings, honor me, and to the blameless, I will show salvation. In other words, not just the physical sacrifice that God is after. He's after our hearts. And again, same thing, Psalm 51, you do not delight in sacrifice. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. No. Ever wanted the sacrificial system. God is not a vengeful, bloody God. He is a God of love. And we find that ultimate sacrifice really is just a very poignant reminder pointing forward to the sacrifice of Jesus.
And I think God wanted to get their attention, say, hey, this is not just a kind of a flippant thing. This is the Son of God who ultimately will be sacrificed for our sins. And so here we have this very, in a way, a beautiful reminder, but God's saying, hey, don't get caught up. Don't miss the point of what is happening here. Don't miss, you know, a form for the sake of function here. Let's make sure we always remember what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is all about.
Amen. You know, Michael, as you're talking about what the cause and the purpose of Christ is all about, I mean, all this leads towards not just Christ as creator, not just as Christ as coming back the second time for the second coming, but mm-hmm. what he did for us on the cross. I know we're getting ready for Easter coming up here soon,
right?
But all of this, I mean, every single aspect, God is worthy to be worshiped and praised.
And when we're ensconced in the beauty of that, and we get it, right? You get it, that it talks about worship that never ends. It's a relationship. So not just like one morning a week or one day a week or when it's convenient. It's something that we are enthusiastic participants in.
Right.
You know, it's like falling in love. You know, you're not just thinking, oh, when it's convenient, say, oh, this is so special. This relationship means so much to me that I just wanted to continue on forever. And that's how God is towards us. I love you so much. I want to be in relationship with you. And when we get that fact, worship will never end.
Amen. Michael, I can't think of a better way to end on that. Worship that will never end. Let's take God up on it and let's worship him today.
Well, till next week, you've been listening to the Sabbath School Rescue Podcast with your host, Soup.
And Swoops, signing out.
As we wrap up, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, the Adventist Learning Community, a ministry of the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists.
You can join us each week by subscribing on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Also, make sure you share it to as many people as possible. And be sure to give us feedback by rating our podcast. And go to our website, sabbathschoolrescue.org, for each weekly episode.